Gospel distribution ministry presents Brother Julius Wilmy with faith building messages for the end time. Stay tuned and be blessed.
First Samuel chapter 30 is the last story I'm going to talk about today before I invite you to come and pray. In this story of David, King David, which was the only part of it that I gave the other time, this is what happened in this story. King David had already fled from Israel because King Saul wanted to kill him. So he was now with the Philistines. And he was a fugitive. And he defected to the Philistines. So by this time, he was with the army of the Philistines. And there came a war between the Philistines and Israel. And David was expected, well, you are now on our side, so you're going to go to battle with us, okay? So he said, oh yeah, I'm going to go to battle with you. I'll be on the side of the Philistines, attacking my own country, the Israelites. And he went because he had to. But what happened is what we're going to read here. As he went with them, he has about 600 soldiers with him. That's David with his 600 servants that were soldiers with him. So they were following the Philistine army to go and attack Israel, King Saul and his army. Then the other Philistine, he was actually with one of the kings of the Philistines. And the other king said, well, who are these Hebrews? Why are they doing? What are they doing here? And the king that David and his men were sojourning. We said, oh, that was David. You remember David? He killed Goliath. Remember him? He's now on our side. And these people said, no, we don't want him to be with us. He can change his mind and become an enemy with us and start fighting us from the back. No, let him get back. So that was the story. David had to, and his 600 men had to get out of the army and go back home. Home means where they were staying with the Philistines. That was the story in a nutshell. 1 Samuel chapter 30. But it took them about maybe 2 days, one day to go, and then another day to come back. In fact, they said, well, it's going to evening now, so just wait till the morning, and then you and your servants go back home. So it took them 3 days away from their house. By the time they got home, they found that the city where they were living had been burned by another enemy that attacked. That was the story where we are going. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag, this was the city where they were, on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. Now, that was the blessing in disguise. Well, that's a blessing. David had two wives by that time, stayed home while they went to war. Most of these 600 men had wives and children that was camped in that city, Ziklag. And they went to war and left the women and the children in the house, and there came another army through the back door. Took all the women and took all the cattle and burned the city and left. So when these men came back 3 days later and found that the whole city was taken, the houses burned down, what was happening? They cried. Every one of them wept for their children. But God won't tell you it's a blessing. You have to remember. God will not tell you it's a blessing in disguise. He's going to let you cry. He's going to let you weep. He's going to let you mourn. But now he's going to also give you something to do. You know, he's going to GI you up to something to go get that blessing that the cloud of trouble has brought. So you have to watch for that tickling from the Lord. God is going to give you that inkling to make you do something so that you can get a blessing. But this is what we are talking about, a blessing in disguise. So David and his men, they come to this place, verse 3. David and his men came to the city, and it was burned with fire. Verse 4, when David and the people that were with him lifted up, then they lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. You will weep too. If you have wife and children and they were gone and the city was burned, you do not know where to turn to. So that was what they were, all 600 men weeping. You know, that was sad when men wept. David had two wives and no children yet, and they were gone. Now, it's after they had no more strength to weep. So what that is the type I'm talking about, that cloud of trouble. Maybe you have gone through weeping periods in your life. Now, look unto Jesus so that he will show you the way. And this is what example we are hearing from David. These are the examples. I said, when those troubled times are occurring, there are some attitudes you must have, you must show to God to bring that blessing. Because if there is a blessing for you and you don't know about it, how will you go get it? Let's say somebody send you a check for $1 million. Because whatever it is, they love you or they heard about you and they send it to you and it's deposited into a bank account. And you are penniless, you are homeless. There have been stories like that in this country. Homeless, penniless, and yet they have inheritance they didn't know about. And they could die in that penury and never claim that inheritance. Something that could have taken them out of their misery, out of their homelessness. And if you don't know about it, it's no use to you. But for you to know about it, there are some attitudes that must be prevalent. There are some behaviors, some characteristics you must show. And God will lead you to that blessing. So in the same example, we are seeing that story here in the story of David. He has to show to God that in the time of trouble, you have that character, that attitude. Still fearing God, still talking to him. Don't blame God that God caused this to happen to you, because that is where the tendency, the temptation many people run into. I told a story of one time I met a person that was homeless in the street right there in Phoenix. And I tried to talk to him about Jesus. He got offended. He was angry about when I mentioned, I mentioned God, not that I've talked so much. I just wanted to give him hope. He was upset and angry and walked away. He said, "Don't talk to me about God." Why? Because he thought God caused his trouble. He thought God was his problem. But no, God was the only one that could solve the problem. So you have to have a good attitude when you are going through that cloud of trouble for the blessing that we are talking about to show up. This is an example here right in the story of David. Because David, after they have wept and cried, they could have started blaming God and say, if God of Israel is with us, we shouldn't be like this. Things shouldn't be like that. The other people may try to do the same thing. In fact, they tried to stone David. But the Bible said David summoned courage. David encouraged. Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Why? He was the leader and he led them to this city, led them to the Philistines. Now led them away to go and fight, and they came back. Their children were taken. So you can't blame them for thinking that way. But how we act, how we behave, like I said, is very important. He said, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. He said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's what we are talking about. You need to encourage yourself. And then he wanted to talk to God. Verse 7, David said unto Abiathar the priest, that is one of them that was a priest with them, he said, bring the ephod and let's talk to God here. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? Knowing the man David that he always wants to do something only when God tells him to do it. So he asked God, do you think I can overtake this army? And God said, pursue them, you overtake them. So the 600 soldiers decided to go and find out where this enemy came from, where they are right now. So they started pursuing. Verse 10. But David pursued. Verse 9. David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook. See, these men have been walking, they walk. You know, you have to know, they don't have all these trucks in like the army have. They have to go by truck from miles. But they have to walk all the way to the enemy's camp. They walk with the Philistines. Now they walk back home, found this trouble. Now they are walking again. So some of them were tired. They just couldn't go any further. But the 400 of them went on and left their baggages behind so that they don't have to have too many things to carry while they are walking. Verse 11 is very important, because when you are going to look for your booty, when the blessings is going to come, you are still in this cloud. This cloud of trouble is still what is bothering you. There may be some tests. There may be some tests from the Lord. And here's one test that came right before their face. And they found an Egyptian in the field. Amen? You say, what's the important thing about that? They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. Now, this is a very important thing because God may be planting an Egyptian in your own way to see how you are going to treat this Egyptian. That is a test. It may be a test. It may actually be that is the compass. Because God is not going to send an angel. Sometimes that is your angel. That man that needs your help may be the angel. In fact, many times we have heard so the Apostle Paul said, some entertain angels unawares. Not so. I don't think he was talking about Lot in those days, because we only know about the story of Lot and the two angels that came to the city. But he said, some entertain angels unawares, and the angel that may be on your way may not be a spiritual angel. Maybe just that man that needed help. This Egyptian was just an Egyptian. It was not an angel planted there. He was an Egyptian. And he needed help. He was actually dying. So they found him in the field. And this is what they were in sorrow, they were in tears, but they have to stop and treat this Egyptian. That's what I'm trying to say. And God is trying to, sometimes God will allow that because he wanted to see that you are complete. For this blessing, are you complete? Are you perfect? In fact, the Bible said that you may be perfect and entire because of your patience. Amen? So here is the Egyptian in the field, and what did they do? They brought him to David, and they have to give him bread. And he ate, and they made him drink water. So that is, you have to take care of this Egyptian because that may be your solution. You have to remember, these people are trying to look for this army that came against them. Which direction did they go? They were looking at the floor to see tracks, and they saw tracks. They went this way, they went that way. And in the field where they are looking for tracks, they found this man that was dying. See? And that is what is the secret to their solution is that man. But the man was almost dead, 3 days, not eating anything. So they have to revive him first. And that is the secret that God is saying. Don't forget, remember, look for that Egyptian in the field. So your own Egyptian may not be a man, it might be something else. But look for it and take cautious care to take care of it, and because that may be the compass you are waiting for. I will give some examples. Maybe you are looking for a job and you decide and say, I'm going to do a business and I'm going to start, and there may be some article you need to read. That God make somebody give you that article that will shine a light in you that, if I want to do that business, this article is very helpful. That will give you inklings, insights in some of these things. Let me give a personal testimony. When I was out of job 2003 and I was looking for, and I started to look for anything to do, I started to start my own business. And a friend just came by and said, you know something? I saw this free, whatever they call it, free training or free seminar. I'd like to go. You like to go with me? I said, well, he's talking about how to start your own business. Well, okay. That may be a compass. Do I need that? Well, you may have to pay some money, though, when you get to that place. Those guys are selling something. They tell you that it's a free seminar, but when you get there, they want to make you to buy their books. So those are all things. That may be your Egyptian in this. Do you want to say, I only have $500 left, but they say you have to buy this book for $100. And you don't want to throw $100 down. So you have to decide. That may be your Egyptian that is going to help you start this business you wanted to start. So you may have to take that test. So that's just an example, and it may end up being the compass you are waiting for, you are looking for. Watch for that pointer that God sometimes will do to everyone. So how will I know this is right? Be able to speak to the Father. Let the Holy Ghost be leading you. That's all I can say. So the Lord was leading David in that story, and they saw this Egyptian, they made him well, and they asked him where he came from. Then he told them the whole story, that he was with the soldiers that destroyed Ziklag. But how come you are left behind? He fell sick. That could be the finger of God making that slave. He wasn't a slave. God made that slave fall sick, and his master said, I'm not going to be carrying a slave. Left him there to die, and there went on. 3 days, and by the time David got there, he was still alive. And he wake him up and gave him food, and he revived, and he told them the story. He said, can you lead up to these people? You will be able to recognize them. So I can lead up to them. And he led them to this army, and David recovered everything. And more than everything, he recovered all the things these soldiers have been gathering from all the villages they have raided. Much more than David planned for. In fact, this is which chapter that says that is why he called it a blessing in disguise. Verse 13 was where that man told them that he is an Amalekite and a Philistine. And David said, can you bring me down to this company in verse 15? And he said, swear unto me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master. And I will bring thee down to this company. And when he brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there were escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And verse 18, David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. There was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle. So in short, they had a lot from this booty that they got. But this booty wouldn't have gotten this booty if they have not, those guys have not come to destroy Ziklag. If those men have left Ziklag alone, David will only come back with his wife and children, whatever they have there. But they have so much that you can see in the last verse, he said David had to be sending some of these booties to his friends in Judah to seek for their favor. In verse 26, and when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends. Behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. God will give you the spoil of your enemies. This enemy will bring those spoils to your door, but they will come, you will be afraid the enemy has come. But they are bringing the spoil. So you have to stay with God, hang in tight with God, and don't give up. Don't give up hope during this time of trouble. But when the trouble comes, and you hang in with God, and the trouble pass away, there is a blessing in it. In fact, another preacher said it this way, that it could be like a love test. God is testing you with that trouble. And if you pass the test, then comes the blessing. But see, this test we are talking about is the normal things that happen to mankind. Apostle Paul said, there's no trouble that can come that is not common to man. It's going to be a common trouble. You say, it may not be soldiers coming to your door like David, but that was common in their days. The common trouble could be sickness. It could be everybody is being laid off now also. Yeah, so you also got laid off. It's common to everybody. You may say, why me, Lord? It's not going to be you individually. It's going to be just common thing. God used those common things to test some people also. But when you stand with God, and like we said, God is the one that's going to make all these bad things to come out for good to them that love him. Amen? So there's a blessing in disguise. But you have to know this God. Like I said, we have to know this God, and you have to commit your life into his hand and be able to listen to him and talk to him so that he can talk back to you. Because only those that love him, the Bible completely promised that this is to them that love the Lord. It's only to them that love the Lord that he's going to show back his love for you. So if you love the Lord, you should rest when the trouble comes. Rest in the Lord, like the Bible says, Psalm 37, and wait patiently for him. But if you don't know this Lord Jesus, then you are hanging on chance. The trouble comes, I heard somebody say, maybe a blessing. That's a chance. It's not guaranteed. A preacher said it one time, it has to be that this Jesus is your father. Then you should just rest and be assured that he is going to work it out for your good. That's what we are saying. Whatever is the trouble. Oh yeah, I just lost somebody. But just trust in the Lord. You may say, well, you have to mean I can trust in the Lord. I lost, he's dead, I buried him. Yeah, don't worry. You will see him later. Not so. You have to trust that you're going to see this simple later. Not like Jacob, that he finally saw this same guy is still alive 20-something years. To him, the man was dead. But we have the hope that even though you saw him buried, so you should be sad. No, you don't have to be sad, because you know he's going to a better place if he knows the Lord. But what we are seeing here today is every trouble, whatever is the trouble, there's always going to be a blessing for you. I can give a simple testimony here in a moment. This will not look like a testimony to you, but it is a testimony to me. When I was maybe 10, 11, 12 years old, that was when I lost my mom. I was just first year in high school. And I couldn't cry because they don't cry in this kind of a thing in Africa. But when I look back, after I grew up a little, after many years, I noticed that if I didn't lose my mom, I wouldn't go to high school. So what? That is just, that is how we are looking at this history. We are looking at history like this, history of David, and said, if those men have not come to destroy Ziklag, those booties, David wouldn't have gotten them. That's what we are seeing after we look back at history. History we always tell later. That's the same story I said. If I didn't lose my mom, I most likely won't go to high school. Why? Because there was no plan for it. No money. But when my mom died, and I was the last baby, every family member gathered together, what do we do with this little boy now? It's the only responsibility that is going to be impacted by the death of this woman. So everybody contributed and said, well, there was a time he applied to this high school and they admitted him, but we are not planning for that because there's no money. So all the family members, excuse me, all the members of the extended family gather money together and say, let's get rid of him. So they get rid of me and throw me into the boarding school. Where there will be no trouble because he's in the care of the boarding school and high school. So, well, everything will be at peace. That was how I went to high school. So when I look back outside, where I said, it was a blessing in disguise. See? To me, it was a blessing. To the whole family, nobody could count that as a blessing. So that's why I said, sometimes the ways of God have passed. And if I didn't go to high school, I most likely won't be standing here today preaching to you guys. Praise the Lord. So God sees not as men sees. Many times we look at it and say, well, it's a failure. This failed. This can fail. But God sees beyond that. Another example is Naomi. Look at what story of Naomi in the Bible. The story of Ruth. You can read it in the story of Ruth. This woman and his family, they went all the way out of Israel and went to Moab with husband and two sons. Lived there for a long time. The two sons married Moabites. And something happened. The husband died. The two sons died. They are left with the women. That was terrible. They cried and cried and cried. And then Naomi said, well, what am I doing here? Let me go back to my city. So she decided to go back to Israel and told the other women, well, just go back to your families, you know. Go marry somebody else. Goodbye. And Ruth decided that no, she was not going back to her family and her idols. She was going to stay with Naomi. And you know the rest of the story. She stayed with Naomi. It was a terrible thing that happened to them. But in the end, this woman, Ruth, came with Naomi and came to Israel and married again. And that was the progenitor of King David and the Lord Jesus Christ. Through that line of that woman, Ruth, who was a Moabitess woman that decided that she was going to go back to Israel with this mother-in-law. You see, God planned that. Was that by chance? The ways of God, he said, like we preached a sermon some time ago, I said, there are some bigger pictures that we do not know, that God will allow some terrible things to happen for that purpose of that bigger picture. God is looking at the big picture that you may not see, and he's going to bring goodies out of troubles for you that love the Lord. Amen? And if you don't know the Lord, I want you to stand up with me. Everybody stand up. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ that we are talking about, you are hanging on chance. And we are not preaching chance here. We are preaching faith in somebody, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you don't want to hang on chance. I want to invite you to come and know this Jesus so that you can be part of his family, because he takes care of his family. Whatever is the trouble, he may orchestrate the trouble, but it is for a purpose to bring you blessing. But if you don't know this Jesus, you can't claim that. You will be like hanging on chance. And I want to invite you to come and know Jesus. Come forward. I will pray with you, and your congregation is going to pray for you. If you are here for the first time, you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to be part of the family of God, that he said all things work together for them that love the Lord. So it's going to make all things work together for you when you know Jesus. And I'm inviting you right now, come and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When you say Lord, means you surrender your life to him, that Lord, take control right now. I've been leading my life myself all these years. I just want to hand it over to you, Lord, so that whatever is happening my way, you will work it out for my good. Come forward and I will pray along with you. And if you are going through any other trouble and you know that it's almost crushing you down, you almost give up, there is hope if you will trust the Lord. And I want to pray along with you also so that we can bring that anointing that can even give you confidence. I remember one time I was out of job and single, not married, and My company was actually folding down. It was not a layoff. They just closed down and they have to kick us out of the building. Now, this, your boss has not paid rent. All of you, don't come back on Monday. We are shutting the door. And we have lost 2 weeks of pay or two paychecks by that time that the company couldn't pay. And I was praying for the company, praying, God help me. And I went before a prayer line, before Brother Frisbee, then, and he just prayed for me, and I felt confidence that everything is going to be all right. That may be what you need today. That troubles are, you don't know where you're going to get the next meal. We can pray. You say, well, it's not prayer you need. You need somebody to give you money. Somebody giving money may not be what you need, because you may finish that money and you need it again. You need another money. Somebody said, lead me, not just feed me. Don't give me fish. Give me out. Teach me how to fish. Then I will not be in want. So what you need perhaps is confidence in the Lord. And the Lord is going to give you that confidence so that you know He's going to work it out for you. So if you need that kind of prayer, come forward. We pray along with you. But if you have not known Jesus and you want to be a family member of Jesus, come forward. I want to pray along with you. Because this is what the Lord said. The church is almost like an hospital where we can minister to one another, where you can trust the Lord. And the Lord Himself is going to touch you. And every other people, if you just want to talk to the Lord yourself, talk to the Lord. But if you want me to pray along with you, come forward. But if you have not known Jesus, this is maybe your chance of knowing this Jesus. You say, well, why do I need to come forward to know Jesus? The Bible says, confess me boldly. If you deny me before men, I also will deny you before the angels. Because angels make these things happen. That we just mentioned. He dispatches angels to go forth and make it happen for David. And they went ahead and did that for David. That sick man that you call the Egyptian, the angels would make him sick so that he can wait for David there. So God make the angels do those things. But He said, if you are denying me before men, I will deny you before the angels of God. So I don't know Him. So the angels won't do anything for you. So that's why we invite you to come to Jesus boldly without being ashamed of Jesus. He said, confess Him and He will confess you. And let's pray. Everybody just bow your head and pray. Just pray. Pray to Jesus yourself and say, Lord, help me. I don't know you. I want to know you. Put my name in your book that I'm now your servant. And I will trust you from now. That's what you want to talk to the Lord if you don't know Him. And if you know Him, talk to Him yourself about all that we have just mentioned.
This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi. Give your life today to the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that you touch all the people that are listening, help them to understand and to follow thee and read their Bible in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Write to me and we shall send you some exhortation. Our address has changed. The new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Again, our new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA. On the internet, www.gospeldistribution.org. Send us email on the internet to the webmaster at gospeldistribution.org. Thank you.